Button. There you go.
I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Christina Bowler, Chair of the BZA, and I will be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me are the other members of the BZA. At the tables across the room are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table near the entrance. Pursuant to the BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order. Staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion, second, discussion among board members, and a vote. Members of the public may address the board and the following rules apply. Each person may speak for 5 minutes and shall have not more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of decisions by the BZA are made to the Knoxville City Council. A petition for such an appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. Scobie to call the roll.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
Louis Urrea.
Here.
Daniel Odle.
Here.
Brad Salisbury.
Here.
All right. Moving on to last month's minutes. Does anyone want to make a motion that we approve February 20th meeting minutes?
Motion approved.
I'll second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
And I'll abstain because I was not here. All right. Moving on to new business.
And I think, do we need to have a motion to take two of them out of order
yes.
due to timing? Okay.
Sorry. Yes, I will make a motion that we rearrange the agenda to move 3F24BA and 3G24BA to the beginning of the agenda. And that is because I have a cutoff at 5:30 and just in the event that we go over.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right.
I will be recusing myself from these two agenda items.
All right, great. So moving on to new business, and we'll start with 3F24BA. Is someone here to speak to that item? All right, great. Before you begin, are there any additional staff comments?
Yes, I'll go ahead and read the comments. The applicant is requesting two variances related to a proposed mixed-use development with off-street parking located on a corner lot in the South Waterfront District. The first request is to decrease the required minimum width of a two-way 90-degree parking lot drive aisle from 26 feet to 24 feet. The applicant is also requesting to increase the maximum front setback in a South Waterfront 3 zoning district from 10 feet to 13 feet. In the South Waterfront District, minimum parking is not a requirement for the development.
All right, you can state your name and address for the record and tell us about your hardship.
At the Stone Top,
20. All right, thank you. Is there anyone else to speak in support? Are you the only person to speak? Anyone? Okay.
Rodney Calvin, 35.
Just
just bring up some reasons for this thing with.
Sorry, did you state your name and address for the record?
Audney Calvin, 3523 Mullen Road.
All right, thank you. Is anyone here to speak in opposition? All right, I'll open it for discussion among the board.
Is the parking employee parking, patron parking?
Resident parking is science.
Right, okay.
People be used to the situation at downtown place.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a residential property or restaurant property, or you don't know yet?
Restaurant property is ground level.
I guess engineering didn't have any issues with the decrease.
That's correct.
I will go ahead and make a motion that we approve 3F24BA due to the irregular shape of the lot, and that the variance requests are minimal. They seem to be the minimum necessary.
I will second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, the motion passes. Thank you. All right, moving on to 3G24VA. Any staff comments for this one?
Yes. The applicant is proposing a mixed-use development with off-street parking in the South Waterfront 4 District, and thus is requesting a variance to decrease the required minimum width of a two-way 90-degree parking lot drive aisle from 26 feet to 22 feet. In the South Waterfront District, minimum parking is not a requirement for development.
All right. Name and address for the record and express your hardship.
Ground Top, 1025 Vesper Drive, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37932. This is a similar type of development, commercial on the ground floor, residential on the top. The spaces will be assigned individually to the residents only, controlling who is using it, and so therefore they'll be familiar with it. The lot, as you see.
All right, great. Did you have someone else you wanted to speak in favor?
Andy Calvin, 3523 Millennium Road, and it's similar to the other one. We're just trying to get cars off the street. This lot, because of the topography, the parking lot kind of happens on the upper level, and on the lower level where it's at, Blount, which I have some elevations and perspectives, if you all want to see it, then it'd be helpful to see, because this one is a bit different with the topography change. And And with this too, the way that we had to design the site, really it's only at a pinch point that we're asking for the variance. There's no, where our parking kind of enters.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone to speak in opposition? All right, I'll open it to discussion among the board members. And I'll ask engineering, what is the reason, I guess, is the 26 feet just extra flexibility, or I guess, why is it okay that we can decrease it?
So 26 foot is set by zoning primarily, and so there is some to give room for people to comfortably navigate. We're typically comfortable with going down to different levels for safety. Our safety threshold's much lower, so I would say at a minimum we'd be comfortable with like typically 10 foot each way. If someone asks for like under 24, we're going to start looking at functionality though.
Okay. And so there was no problem with this one.
Right. So we were concerned with like the angled parking and some of the spaces where it was tighter. But as Adam said, they provided turning templates to show that it's still functionable.
Okay.
Sorry, I probably just missed this, but the hardships are the shape of the lot and the topography, the changing topography there at the bottom. Is that
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes. There's a quite.
Is a 17 foot and a half or 17 and a half feet deep lot required in the SW4 for the parking stall length?
Yes, the parking space dimensions are the same in South Waterfront as the rest of the city. Did that answer your question? There's a wall there. And is on that back property line. And so that's why they have to have a 17 and a half foot space.
So there's no room for overhang. You can't.
Correct.
We couldn't shrink it up.
Right.
All right.
All right. I will also make a motion that we approve 3G24BA on the basis of the irregular lot shape and topography.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. All right. We will now go to 3C24VA. Is anyone here to speak to the application? Jeffrey Hensley here. You can come up to the podium. And while you're coming up, are there staff comments?
Yes. The applicant is requesting to increase the required maximum building coverage for a single accessory structure from 900 square feet to 1,440 square feet based on the area of the lot being more than 15,000 square feet but less than an acre. The proposed garage will be used to store an RV and will not be taller than the principal dwelling according to drawings submitted by the applicant.
All right, great. Will you state your name and address for the record and then tell us about your hardship?
Jeffrey Hensley, 7109 Lavender Lane, 37921. We bought a fifth wheel, it's our second fifth wheel, and we're looking to house it to keep it in mint condition. And we also have some of the equipment that we use.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? All right, I'll open it to discussion among the board.
One of the exhibits here has a 38 by 38 building along with a 30 by 48 garage. What's the 38 by 38 square? Okay. And it looks like your driveway goes up a hill to the house. Does that hill continue to the backyard?
Yes, the driveway goes all the way up towards the end of the property.
Okay.
It's all vacant.
Is this the only level spot that you've got on the site?
It is level.
All right.
Could the garage be any smaller and still house your RV?
It could be with the width of it, which is only 8 foot, but when you let the slides out, it encompasses 10 feet. The length of it, which is 48 feet, if I was to clean it, or, you know, just regular maintenance, when you take 40 feet, you got 8 feet, that's 4 foot in front, 4 foot in the rear. It'd be kind of difficult to make the, you know, length of the course comprising that.
Mr. Hensley, most of the time, our variance requests are really about more about geography of the property itself, the size, shape, topography, soil conditions. Can you tell us anything about the property itself that is really creating a hardship for you to really need the bigger structure? It's there to house the RV and to cover that, but is there anything about the property itself that makes this a particular hardship for you? Anything at all?
Well, as far as the value of the RV, it would be a hardship for it to deteriorate. And they're going to deteriorate anyway, but my wife and I, we use it for recreation. We're going to leave it probably to our children, who have seven. And it's, you know, just showing them how life can be rewarding. And when you take care of something, you place a shelter on it, which is, it's not a cheap shelter. It'll be something they could use, and it adds value to the neighborhood. I know all of my neighbors, and they're okay with it.
Is there another category of lot size that would let the building coverage be more? Like if this was a bigger lot, then the lot coverage would be higher, or is it caps out at?
If the property was 1 acre or more, it could go up to 1,100 square feet.
Okay.
That's per structure, correct?
Correct.
So we could have multiple structures that
up to the square footage of the home.
Okay.
Does anyone want to make a motion?
I'll just be honest with you. I'm struggling to find like a real hardship for this one. It's one that, from a practical standpoint, I'm not opposed to at all. I understand wanting to do what you're doing. For this board's authority, my perspective personally is that we're really wrestling with trying to find a reason that we can say yes to here. I'm inclined to deny the variance request because of that personally. And just for the sake of moving forward, I'll make that motion and that we can continue to have discussion. I'll make a motion to deny 3C24VA as it is submitted.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? I'll go ahead and second it. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Is there any further discussion?
Sorry, is there further discussion about it? You're welcome to make a comment.
I think we need to talk about it a little bit further because looking at topography and on the KGIS map, I think it would be a struggle for them to put a second building and be able to have access it and be able to access it. Around the back side of the house.
Where's that key KGIS map? Is it in the exhibits here?
It's number 6.
Number 6.
Can you explain your thinking a little bit more for me? You're just saying that based on topography, but
we're in the hillside protection area just based on the overlay and doing a little research on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with that, we've got to try and minimize the grading activities that we do on a site as part of that. And this does that.
Are you saying that maybe if they built multiple structures, they could accomplish what they're trying to do?
If they built multiple structures, they could legally build multiple structures and still have storage area, plus be able to house their RV, maybe not have all in one big structure, but have the right to do that. This gives them the same square footage that they would have the right to be able to build, but only does it in one pad.
Can we deny this motion as submitted and consider, or pardon me, this variance and consider another variance that takes that hardship that you just described into consideration instead of the variances that exist? I guess we can always consider future variances.
Are you... Just to make sure I understand, are you saying maybe changing the numbers slightly to make it a lesser variance? Is that what you're... Or do you mean taking the motion to deny off the table so that you could do a motion to approve?
Well, as I understand it, and I think I tend to agree that there's not really a hardship described within the variance request here, but we can always consider future requests, right?
I see.
In the dealing with the same property that doesn't deny the applicant the right to...
Without prejudice, basically. Right. Yes, you can state that in the motion, but generally our position on this has been that as long as the application is different in some way, it's not the exact same application, then it could come before you again. Otherwise, there's a one-year bar on refiling for the same request. So. Mm-hmm.
I can withdraw my motion right now. There's nothing. Yeah.
I would, since it's been seconded, I'd go ahead and take a vote on it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to express more what you're thinking there, I guess?
Yeah, I'll just say that I think Brad's selling me on his thought process. There's the topography and canopy coverage that's required there would tend to argue for a single structure that takes care of things that they could accomplish under multiple structures. And I think that's a legitimate argument based on topography. So call for a vote.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor to deny 3C24BA, say aye. All opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed. Opposed. All right. So that motion fails. Now we'll entertain a new motion.
I'll make a motion to approve it based on topography as the hardship.
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion passes. It's been approved. Thank you. All right. Moving on to 3D24BA. Someone here to speak to that application? All right, great. Let's hear from the staff if there are any staff comments.
Yes, the applicant is requesting an increase in the maximum allowed impervious surface coverage for a property located in an R1 zoning district from 40% to 68% for proposed addition and site improvements to a place of worship. No site work is suggested other than accessible sidewalks proposed to the building additions. Current impervious surface coverage is calculated at 65%.
All right, great. You can state your name and address for the record and tell us about your hardship. Great, thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? All right, we'll open it to discussion.
So the hardship here being topography for folks to get around outside, for handicapped folks to get around, essentially? Okay. Okay.
Okay. Does engineering have any issues at all, stormwater wise?
I'm currently in conversations with the engineer to discuss some of those concerns. It is directed, it's related to impervious increase, but they understand that those are on the horizon.
And it is 64% of the surface is impervious anyway now. Is that the number that I heard? Is that correct? Do the rules allow us to consider that fact that it's currently in excess of the maximum required? Does that matter at all?
I think it's something that can be taken into consideration because the adjustment that's made to the zoning code has to be the minimum adjustment necessary. So if you're already starting with a number that's over, I think that makes sense to consider it in context. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a motion to approve this variance request based on the very de minimis variance of what is actually existing and the hardship of having to have handicapped individuals go around what seems to be a large building on the outside instead of inside of the building.
I'll second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right, and none opposed, so the motion carries. It's been approved.
Thank you very much.
All right, moving on to 3E24BA. Someone here to speak? All right. Do the staff have comments?
Yes. The applicant is requesting an increase in the required maximum front setback in an R1 zoning district from plus or minus 10 feet of the average of block face, calculated as 59 feet, with a maximum front setback of 69 feet to 94.2 feet to construct a new single family dwelling. The applicant demoed the previous residence, which had a front setback calculated as 60 feet.
All right, you can state your name and address for the record and tell us about your hardship.
Thank you. My name is Brad Ferber of Red Door Homes, East Tennessee, 115 Circle Lane, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. And I'm speaking on behalf of the owner, Kevin and Aaron Quincer. First, I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to come before you and your consideration on our request to increase the minimum front setback requirement at 3636 Woodland Drive. Our plans for the property include demolition and removal of the existing home and detached driveways, which includes a subterranean apartment unit. Once the removal of the existing structure has taken place, we plan to build a new traditional brick home on a conventional crawl space foundation. Woodland Drive has a slight drop in elevation from the west to the east in front of this property, approximately 2 feet. We propose to bring the driveway in on the low side, the east side of the property, and traverse the property in an S-shaped fashion to add overall length to the driveway. By adding length, we can minimize the grade of the driveway due to the grade of the lot. We originally planned a straight driveway entering from the west side of the property, which placed the home 124 feet from the property line. The goal is to provide them with a less than 15% grade. We've worked to redesign the driveway to allow for minimum adjustment to accommodate a more traditional construction plan and allow for reasonable use of the land. A few of the consideration points are the existing structures are unique in design. The driveway that exists is poured concrete structure over an elevated subterranean apartment. The elevated driveway is unconventional in typical residential construction. It is difficult to build and to maintain. The existing home is a three-story structure on a post and beam elevated foundation. The lower level is below the driveway elevation, and the access to the main level of the home is via a wooden bridge. This creates unsafe conditions, especially for young children, which the Quincers have too. The Quincers also desire a more traditional brick home, which in our opinion is more keeping with the architecture consistent in the Sequoia Hills neighborhood. Our home and site plan capitalize on the flatter and more suitable building area to build to provide the traditional construction that it desired. We ask that you consider our request to increase the minimum front setback from 69 to 94.2 feet. The handouts that I've passed around, the first page shows our current site plan that we intend to move forward with at the 94.2 feet. I wanted to show the original site plan that we had in our application, which was the straight driveway at 124 feet, to show you our effort to redesign and make adjustments to the minimums as best we could. The following page is actually a picture of the original, the, the existing structure as it is right now with the elevated garage driveway approach, which actually has a very large drop off at the back of that, very unsafe. And then the third, the fourth page is just kind of give you a snapshot of the adjoining properties and the nearby residences and the setbacks that they are followed along that same block.
Did you want anyone else to speak now in favor?
Kevin Quincer. Okay, great. Hi, Kevin Quincer, 800 Market Street in Knoxville, Tennessee. The hardship, as Brad just described, is the topography of the lot. There's a very steep slope from the street down to a flatter portion of the lot, which is where we intend to build the home. The current home design is quite literally dangerous to my children. There's a 15 to 20 foot drop off on the sides of the concrete structure they use now as the driveway, and it's just straight down. The house itself is built up so high that all the balconies are 20 to 30 feet off the ground. There's a wooden walkway that myself, I've actually fallen through it because it's decayed over time to the front door of the current residence. And as it's designed here, Brad's done an excellent job designing it. It's designed to have like approximately a 15 degree slope, which my understanding is from the experts that that's more or less the minimum type of slope that you want on the driveway, because otherwise it becomes too steep. And because I have little girls, they're 6 and 3, I want a driveway that they can use to walk up to get to the street and then, you know, take walks in the neighborhood as well. Throughout the day when they're driving, I want a driveway that's safe for them.
All right, thank you. Is anyone here to speak in opposition? All right, I'll open it to discussion among the board.
Engineering, have you had a chance to look at this? I don't necessarily, Brad, your design looked good. It makes sense that the driveway is doing what it's doing. But by approving this, are we pushing the house back into a closed depression?
Interesting. At 124 feet, the rear of the home was into the closed depression. We are just in advance of the closed depression with the back porch in this current iteration.
I did not realize that it was a closed depression when I was looking at it. It was not appropriately delineated on KGA, so I missed that.
And I ask just for clarification, what is a closed depression?
Essentially, it's a bowl. It's a bowl of topography, often indicative of a sinkhole.
Okay.
It looks like he's outside the limits of the actual closed portion of that. It'd be a good idea to probably get a geotechnical study, but I don't think it's something that we would prevent from being built in the proposed location.
In working with Sterling Engineering, according to their, we've had the property survey, and with their calculations, we're within feet of it, but we're just in advance of it towards the roadside. I think we're just outside of the zone. So doing the shorter driveway or the lesser distance off the road actually helped us in that regard.
Right.
I'll make a motion to approve 3E24VA as it's submitted. I simply think it's a good balance between the topography and the issues they're trying to overcome from the street and how that elevation will work. So I'm in favor. I think it's a fits with the neighborhood. It's not out of keeping with anything around it.
I will second that motion.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Motion carries. And 3E24BA has been approved. Thank you. All right. Moving on to 3H24BA. Someone here to speak in favor. All right. To speak to the application. All right. Staff comments.
The applicant is requesting to increase the maximum allowed detached sign height on a lot adjacent to a scenic highway system from 6 feet to 10 feet. All new detached signage located along a scenic highway must be no more than 6 feet in height and 36 square feet in sign area.
All right. Please state your name and address for the record and express your hardship.
Good afternoon. Good evening. Tim. And it's
All right. Is someone here to speak in opposition?
Good afternoon. Kevin Murphy, 4th.
Thank you. All right, I'll open it to discussion among the board members.
Tim, if you could help me just real quick, I'm going to make sure I'm tracking with, if you don't mind coming up the microphone. Just real quick again, tell me, where is that sign going to sit from that photo right there? Is it... I'm not sure I'm making sense of exactly where it's positioned.
It's 10 feet off of the property line. I mean, exactly right where it's illustrated.
Okay, I'm sorry. So that Dunkin' Donut sign is not existing.
No.
Sorry. That clarifies my confusion. It's good artwork. They faked me out.
And the sign square footage would not increase from what's allowed?
I would tend to say that there is a topographic issue here, and it's actually, I mean, it's related to topography. I also would say it's related to how the road bends there from my perspective. I mean, topography is a hill, and that is a hill, and it's got a property in front of it that makes it challenging, and then it's on a bend where coming around the corner makes eyesight, your sight line challenging as well.
Yeah, I think the existing retaining walls that are in and around it as well aren't helping matters.
I thought Kevin's point that it is actually helping to make the sign be perceived as being taller was pertinent, although I agree that the topography combined with the curb is affecting the visibility. Seems like making it higher up on the hill makes it more visible.
I'll make a motion to approve 3824 VA as it's submitted based on topography and the sightline issue that I previously mentioned.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Was there any other discussion? Just to make sure. Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to say opposed on this one.
Aye.
All right. So the motion carries and it is approved. Thank you. All right. I think that is the end of our agenda. The next BZA meeting will be held on April 16th, 2024 in the small assembly room. Meeting adjourned.